me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it,
Yeah.
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was going to bring it back,
but it was signed by Babe Ruth.
Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Fly.
King of Crash.
The Colossus of Cloud. The Colossus of Cloud.
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. And in for Eric this week is producer Adam's in for Eric. It's welcome. Good to see you, Adam. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. The number's 312-332-3776. We're giving away this week to one caller or tweeter, T-Crown Tom is my Twitter ID, a box of 2015 Topps Hobby Football. So give us a call with a question about the value of your collectible. We'll try to give you an estimate of what it might sell for in a current auction. The next Huggins and Scott auction is in the first week of November, and there's lots of items up there already if you go to HugginsandScott.com. Here's something that I never even had heard of this guy before, and I know a lot about the presidents. I took a class in college on the presidents.
Weren't you a history major or a minor or something?
Yeah, okay. I was.
I remember hearing that.
But I don't remember this at all. I guess I was sleeping in class during the part where they were talking about the vice presidents.
Sure it wasn't the Pabst beer?
No, that would have been Falstaff.
Okay,
maybe.
Falstaff.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of the vice presidents might have been sleeping while they were at their jobs, too. But here's one. Garrett Hobart, signed 1890s vice president, a business card. My card, vice president. VP, here's my card. Would you like my card?
Very cool.
Yeah. I wonder how long vice presidents had a business card, Bill. I don't know. But I looked it up. He served under William McKinley and was, it said, the sixth vice president to die in office. I never even knew that. He died November 21st, 1899, and he was succeeded by Theodore Roosevelt, who ended up succeeding McKinley when he was assassinated. So isn't that something? Yep. You learn something every day.
Absolutely.
But I imagine you don't see a whole lot of Garrett Hobart autographs, do you, Bill?
I think this is our first.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. I mean, there's got to be guys that collect presidential and vice presidential autographs. We know there's presidential, so that'll be interesting to watch and see what it does. But that whole story, you know, I see Garrett Hobart, and I'm like, that doesn't ring a bell at all.
Yeah.
So I looked him up and saw that story. It's like, boy, I'll tell you, you do learn something every day.
Sunday mornings on ESPN Radio, 7 a.m.
Now, we're also going to talk about, last week we were talking about Bill's lunchbox collection, and that, of course, made me think about cartoons from that when I was growing up. There were some great cartoons at the time, and Bill, I bet there's collectibles for a lot of this stuff. Some of the ones I could think.
Yeah, we've run some of that stuff, for sure, yeah.
Now, a lot of these had packs even, right? Like things like the Flintstones. That was my lunchbox. So that, you know, when I was in first grade, Rocky and Bullwinkle, Bugs Bunny, Roadrunner, the Jetsons. We know there were Jetsons stuff.
You do an amazing Astro.
It's not that good, Vince.
Actually, it's pretty well.
That's right, Vince.
But what's some of the good stuff from the old cartoons? And wait a minute, Vince, what was I missing? You mentioned a good one, too.
Oh, Underdog.
Underdog, I liked
watching that as a kid. Yep.
Yeah. I could sing that tune now, too, but I won't do that. But, Bill, anything stand out from some of those cartoons as good collectibles?
Well, it just depends on what type of stuff it is. Like you said, you know, the lunchboxes are good. I mean, there's a lot of the toys that went along with
those
with the cartoons and stuff like that, swords and masks and other types of stuff there. I know there were tons of, we've had like coloring books and stuff like that that would have the cartoon characters in it and stuff like that, which those are very collectible.
Those are actually worth something?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know that. I used to have some of that stuff. Yeah, I was a big colorer when I was watching those cartoons. I remember getting, was it called Silly Putty? Or I think it was called Silly Putty, and you could roll it up and, like, bounce it. But you could also, if you had a comic book or the comic strip, you could smack it against that,
and it would image. Yeah,
yeah, the image would be on it, and then you could stretch that thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was known to do that a few times too. I was a weird kid, wasn't I? There were
not sure what's changed, Tom.
You had to figure out something to have fun at the time. You know, there weren't video games or whatever. I remember when my kids were little, and we were talking about. I said something, you know. When nobody wanted to change the channel or get the remote, I go, you know, when I was a kid, they didn't even have remotes. And one of them goes, did they have cars then? Yeah, they had cars.
It's amazing how we existed before all this technology.
I know. You know? It's incredible. Richard from, is this Lena, Richard, that you're from? Lena?
Illinois. Yep.
Lena, Illinois. Yeah, now, see, you learn another thing every day. I never knew there was a Lena, Illinois. What's up? What do you have?
Well, they're very old. They're like a 3x5 card. There's nothing on the back. I've got Aparicio, Calibru, Kubek, Drysdale, Banks, Pathco.
Are they jumbo cards?
They look like they were a promotional, a giveaway or something in like a cereal box or something. I have no idea, but
oh, you think they might be post cereal?
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
Exhibit card. Sounds like exhibit card.
Yeah, if they're black and white, there'd be exhibits, but those are bigger ones.
Okay, well, these say made in the USA on the bottom right corner. That's all I got to go by.
Do they have stats on the front, or is it just a picture?
Yeah, they're kind of a brownish color, a light brown tone.
I'd say so, yes.
Okay, that sounds like exhibits.
Yeah, kind of a sepia color. Those are exhibit cards from the... They put them out from 47 to 66. They were sold mostly at arcades, like at the beach or resorts or stuff. You put a penny in a machine and out would pop one of these.
Okay.
So they were a penny at the time. How are some of them doing now, Bill? Are there any in high grade they're good? Or some of those don't go for...
Yeah, well, actually, you know, they did them, like I said, over a course of about 20 years, and... Sometimes they would produce the same ones over and over, but then as you got toward the end of their whole production scheme in 66, they kept adding a couple every year, and the ones that they added late in the mid-60s, those are some of the real tough ones, like Carl Yastrzemski is a very, very tough one.
Huh.
And then some of them they also did pose variations, which can be very tough. Most average ones, the common sell for $1 or something like that, or $2. And some of the stars that you mentioned there, like Aparicio and Drysdale and Kubek, they're in the $5 to $15 range.
So, unless there's something really good hiding in there, it's a cool lot, but not a real valuable lot. But here's a cool item that I got from Steve on Twitter. Adam, it looks like I couldn't X out of him there, so... this is neat. He's got it in a frame. It's the first edition of the National Sports Daily. Remember when they came out with that newspaper, the National Sports Daily, and Jordan's on the cover. It's in a nice frame and signed by a real nice signature, Michael Jordan. Steve sent this to @TCrownTom on Twitter so we can all see this. Bill, I think this is pretty neat. The National was around for a while. January 31st, 1990 is the date on the paper. Have you ever had one of those? Or want to give an estimate on that one? Or is it something you haven't even seen?
For a minute.
It's the National? Is Bill there? I guess.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Here. Yeah, did you hear what I was saying?
No,
oh,
I didn't.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, Steve sent on Twitter a picture of the first National Sports Daily, January 31st, 1990. Michael Jordan's on the cover, and Jordan signed it in bold black ink. It's a cool signature. It looks neat, real neat in the frame. Have you ever run anything like that?
Oh, my gosh, I don't know. This was that sports publication that came out that was kind of short-lived?
Yeah, I would say maybe a year or two at the most, I would think, that it actually was in existence. But it's a cool...
I think it was done by USA. I think USA Today did it.
I think they did it, but... It's a cool looking cover with Jordan on there. I like it. I don't know. I'm thinking in this frame it would be probably at least $400 or $500. I don't know. Without having seen, I'm sure there haven't been many of these. If he did want to try that in a Huggins and Scott auction, Bill, do you think you'd want to do it, or is that not something for
you? Yeah, I think so. I mean, hell, we got Tom Morgan bidding already. So.
It's nice, that's for sure. I like it. So I guess that would have to be authenticated, but it sure looks like a real Jordan signature from the picture. So very nice. Now, also on Twitter, I put a picture up. Dan from Manuka came into Triple Crown this week. A lot of times during the week, people will bring stuff in, and he has some low to mid-grade cards from the 50s and early 60s. A couple of them were pretty low. He had a 59 Mantle, though, but that was probably a 1, maybe a 1.5. But he had a few more Mantles, and he had Koufax, Mays, Clemente. Some of those are probably in the 3 to 4 range. So even though they're not great condition, Bill, when you've got multiple Mantles and some other Hall of Famers, that's still a lot you'd be willing to take, wouldn't it be?
Oh, yeah. And, gosh, Tom, we have bidders that they're not interested in the 7s, 8s, and 9s and stuff like that. They're interested in the 2s, 3s, and 4s because they need more bang for your buck, so to speak, and they can live with the fact that their card has a little crease in it, you know?
Yeah, a lot of times guys are – where if they're doing it more as just a collector rather than as for value, if it appeals to their eye, and they can get it for a third of the price of a mint card or near mint to mint, they're going to go for it. So
lots of people out there that are into those graded cards or those that grade of the card for sure.
Yeah, and if the guy's still alive. And it's a lower grade of vintage card. It's a lot of people are using that now to try to get the autograph of the guy on it, and sometimes those can do real well. So Dan from Manuka, I think he's going to be bringing that in again maybe sometime this week. And speaking of things that were brought into T-Crown, I saw that you guys have the Jerry Rice Mackey Award is already up on HugginsandScott.com. for the November auction with a $500 minimum bid. If you haven't seen that, go to HugginsandScott.com and just search Jerry Rice. It's a really cool award. That'll be interesting to see what that does.
Actually, I watched the Football Life of Jerry Rice last night. And when he was a kid, he was helping his father lay brick. And so a lot of times they would toss the bricks to each other. And so really a lot of that Jerry Rice's talent in his hands started with brick.
Yeah, I guess if that's coming at you, you want to make sure
absolutely.
You catch it,
that's
too.
Right. That's right. Whoa,
that's probably was a real good practice, actually.
Absolutely.
I bet it made his hands strong, too.
Absolutely.
You know, laying the brick and stuff. I used to always squeeze those, like a tennis ball or hard balls, and I'd get those things that were like, what did they call them, vice grips or something, where that they used to say for baseball and basketball is good for your grip and your – and I think it did help quite a bit, without a doubt. So what else do we have here? The number's 312-332-3776. We're on till 8 a.m. Central Time taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We're giving away a box of 2015 Topps Hobby Football to one caller. Or if you tweet an item that we use it on the show, you'll get in the drawing also. And the winner that Vince will announce at the end of the show, all you have to do is email Vince at ERC Delivery, and they'll set up a free-of-charge delivery right to address that you give them. Superman Todd sent an item here. It's kind of neat. He said there's 42 signatures. I'm not exactly sure. It must be a Bears team-signed photo Superman Todd if you want to tweet exactly the year of that or what that is. But if it's a team signed from a good year, this is on a like a panoramic photo of a field, Bill. How good is the value of a team signed on a on like that where they're all in the white border at the bottom underneath the field compared to like a team signed football?
A lot of that stuff is it's just who it appeals to. You know, people, when you talk about display things and artwork and stuff like that, it's more of who likes it and who doesn't, you know.
Yeah, the one thing that I do like about this is all the signatures are on display right there where you'd have to spin a football around. So from that standpoint, now this would look good in a frame from Agatha at Art and Frame in Naperville with a little matting around it. I think that would look real good.
Yes.
So. If you do want to ever get something framed, one of our sponsors is Art and Frame in Naperville. Check with Agatha there, and she can help you out. We got another item here from Diego. He has a Leo DeRocher 1951 Bowman card, PSA DNA certified authentic autograph. It's a light signature, Bill. With it looks like a nice condition card, actually. White borders on the card, and it looks like pretty well centered. It's kind of sideways, so I'm doing the old head tilt when I'm looking at this thing. But that's what would you think? That's probably maybe at least $100, maybe in the $100 to $2 range. I don't know. I think
somewhere in that range.
I would think this would have been one where you almost would have wanted to get the card graded, too, if it's as good on the back as it is on the front. The card looks really nice. Well, it's time for a short break here. We're on till 8. Taking your questions about the value of your collectibles, give us a call at 312-332-3776. And hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville, and I know...
I know nothing.
Well, I know a little more than nothing about collectibles, but not everything. Bill Huggins from Huggins and Scott Auctions, he knows a lot more than I do. And Vince Clementi from ERC Delivery. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We're giving away a box of 2015 Topps Hobby Football to one caller or tweeter. And if you bring in stuff during the week at Triple Crown, like if you ever want to send it in, we can send it in to Huggins and Scott for an auction. Or if you just want to bring it in, I tweet about it. And if I talk about it on the show, then you get in the drawing also. But we've got a lot of callers have been waiting here, so let's get to Jack from Naperville. Thanks for calling, Jack. What do you have?
Hey, guys. Hi. I've got a 1964 Topps baseball set, complete set.
Ooh, that's nice.
And a great year, 1964.
What type of condition?
The condition's kind of all over the place. I inherited like three-quarters of the set and then kind of pieced it together myself about 15 years ago. The mantle's in pretty rough condition, but the Maris looks really clean. I'm just curious what that might bring in an auction.
What do you think, Bill?
Well, Jack, you're probably looking, without seeing it, a complete set in kind of low to mid-grade is probably in the $800 to $1,200 range. It could be even higher than that, depending on exactly what it does look like.
A lot of times, a guy like the Mantle card is one of the keys, big-name rookies, but Mantle cards are the key. So if you have a lower-grade Mantle, that can hurt a bit. Right, Bill?
Yeah. I mean, although if it fits the theme of the set, I wouldn't put a nice 7 or 8 Mantle in a set that the rest of it 3s, 4s, and 5s.
Yeah, so. That's true. Is it all creased up, or does it look pretty good, the Mantle, or...?
No, the Mantle is the one that's probably the roughest shape. Corners are all worn off. It just doesn't look very clean at all. So I've actually looked at maybe trying to find one that looks in better shape to add to the set, but I've just not gone through with it.
Yeah, maybe if you found one that, you know, like a 3-4 type condition that looks a little better, and like Bill said, not mint, obviously, you don't want to pay that much, but if you could get one that fit in better with the look of the rest of the set, that would probably help. But that for sure would be a set either way you'd want to run, isn't it, Bill?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we have collectors that'll buy that set in any grade, really.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see the pictures of it.
And the grade of the card is really going to dictate the value.
That's
know?
True. Yep. All right. Well, thanks for the call. Next on the line, we have Jeff from Wrigleyville. Thanks for calling, Jeff. What do you have?
I have my daughter has a Chris Bryant jersey signed by Bryant.
Ooh.
We also have the VIP passes that show we've got on the field and the tickets. We also have 4 baseballs signed by Bryant and Rizzo.
Wow.
Boy, we were just talking yesterday at Triple Crown that Rizzo stuff is kind of undervalued. And I was talking to a younger collector. You know, he's in his 20s, but I'm saying, you know, whenever you hear a name of a player and you think, man, that guy just doesn't seem like it's selling high enough, buy those guys. I mean, because usually the rest of the world's going to catch up on it sooner or later. But, Bill, have you run any Chris Bryant jerseys yet in an auction that you can think of?
I don't think we have. I don't know that he has, you know, I don't know if he hasn't done any, you know, private signings or anything with anybody. There's probably not a lot of stuff out there other than just things that you would have gotten at the ballpark or when you met him or something like that. But
this was the thing where I sent a bunch of emails because my daughter has cancer.
Oh,
and I have emails back and forth saying, okay, yeah, these guys will meet you and stuff like that. When we have the jersey framed, what should I add any of those things to it? Such as the emails or the VIP passes or the tickets or anything like that.
Well, did they say it's a game-worn jersey or just a...
No. This is an MLB jersey that we bought.
Oh, I see. Okay. I don't know. So this is something you're never going to sell. You're just going to keep this.
My daughter's keeping it forever.
Yeah, I would. What I would do maybe is take it to the framer. If I don't know if you live close to Art and Frame in Naperville. You're in Wrigleyville, huh? But if you have a framer that you trust, if you can't make it to Naperville, maybe take the items in to the framer and see if they can give you an idea of a nice setup where it would look good and try to fit as much in there that it looks good, that it doesn't look cluttered, and that you like the looks of it because you guys are going to be keeping it and have it on display. Now, I did past auctions there was a 2013 Chris Bryant Arizona Fall League game worn jersey sold for $4,700 and a spring training worn jersey sold for $1,428, just to give you an idea on that stuff. But I mean, that's a few hundred dollars, I'm sure, right now for the Chris Bryant. Obviously, it doesn't matter to you the value, but I would take it to a good sports framer, and if you can make it to Naperville, check with Arden Frame.
Arden Frame in Naperville. Yeah, we'll make a trip out there, yeah.
Yeah, she's a great lady to work with. Maybe call her first, just tell her what you're thinking of doing, and she can maybe ask you a couple questions on how to get it set up. But that would look great. You know, if you do it right, it's going to look really good. That's cool. Is your daughter doing okay now?
We think so.
Good luck.
It's the wait-and-see thing.
Yeah, well, good luck.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for the call. Next on the line, we have Chris from St. Charles. What's new, Chris? What do you have?
Hey, I've got a 2004 White Sox jersey, black, signed by Kenny Williams on down, the entire team. Just wondering what that might be worth.
So this is a jersey signed the year before they won the World Series.
Yeah, it was about mid-season. I was one of the pilots for them, and about halfway through the 2004 season, they signed it. I'm not exactly sure. I can't read all the signatures very well, so I'm not sure mid-season who all would be on there. I mean, I know you had Frank Thomas and everybody, but
yeah.
It wasn't the World Series one, but I was curious.
I like the fact that Kenny Williams is on it. White Sox stuff is down right now. I mean, right now the Chicago area is on the Cub bandwagon, and I actually had a call from a listener who has two 2005 White Sox team signed bats, and I checked with Schwartz Sports, a representative from Schwartz Sports, who used to sell those. They did a bunch of signings with them. And he said they haven't had them for a couple years, but they used to sell them $1,000 to $1,500. I don't think those do that now. Not right now. I don't think it's a good time to sell White Sox stuff right now. I'd hang on to it. But I think you're, you know, at least a couple hundred on it, and it just depends who all is on it and how good it looks. But I don't think it's a good time to sell White Sox, any team signed stuff right now.
I have this song in my head, the theme from The Walking Dead. I'm not exactly sure why it's here, but
that might have something to do with it. Mike from Chicago was in yesterday, Bill. And I was saying, I really believe if I was manager of the White Sox, I would hire Mike from Chicago as a coach, and he wouldn't really do much of anything. I have a feeling I don't think he'd be a real good fungo hitter, so I might not have him do anything except when there was a game like last week when they were losing 16-2 and they were bringing out the, you know, the position players to pitch. I'd have Mike go out to the mound doing his Walking Dead walk impression and to take out the picture.
That was so funny yesterday. That was
hilarious. You saw him do the walk, didn't you?
That was great.
He really is good with that. Oh, yeah, you never know what's going to go on at T-Crown on a Saturday trade day, that's for sure. You know, I was looking up. There's a new product coming in this week, Donruss Soccer. Is coming out, and I just happened to see this blurb in the newspaper. Cristiano Ronaldo scored 5 goals. This was last week and became Real Madrid's all-time leading scorer. Okay, he has 229 goals, surpassing Raul. You know, they've got those cool names, Pele, yes. Raul, all that stuff. But Ronaldo, these in soccer, you know, I've never been a big soccer fan, but soccer cards and autograph cards that these big names do really well because it's worldwide.
Yep,
I mean,
yep.
It's huge in other parts of the world. I looked up a Ronaldo 2014 Panini Prism autographed refractor sold for $3,750.
Wow.
Then there was another item, Pele and Ronaldo dual sign numbered to 10 from Panini Prism last year, $6,300. So,
nice.
You know, it's one of those things, even if you're not a huge soccer fan, it might not be a bad thing to try cracking open a little bit just to see
eBay,
what you get.
eBay's made it easier to ship international and attract international buyers for some of their stuff with their international programs. So,
right.
So that's helped as well.
It does. The eBay global shipping is better. I typically don't ship out of the country because I've had a couple problems, but that is a good way
that's
to do it.
A lot.
I still don't trust shipping expensive things out of the country, though. I don't know why. No. Bill, do you ship outside the U.S. very often at Huggins and Scott?
Well, yeah, we do. We have to. I mean, we have actually bidders in our auction in about 20 foreign countries. You know,
wow.
So I mean, a lot of countries it's one, but you know,
yeah, right. No.
No, we ship a lot of stuff to China. We have a couple of real big bidders in Japan and China and England and certainly Canada. We ship a lot of stuff to people up there.
Yeah, well, very good. So if you're listening, you know, I got a call at T-Crown during the week from, it's amazing where people can hear the show now, either from the ESPN app or just listening online, but Ed called. He's a Chicagoan who moved to Seattle, and he loves the show. He still listens in Seattle. And he even said, he goes, yeah, I got my 90-year-old dad in Florida hooked on it now, too. So people are listening all over. So it's good to know, Bill, that you can, you know, if they're listening. Remember we had the one call on the show from Israel. I mean, you never know who's listening from where.
We're global, Tom. We're global.
Yes, we are. We don't know it. It's a good thing we don't know it, or we might panic. Here's Joey sent a neat item. Speaking of Chris Bryant earlier, this is his first home run ticket stub signed by Chris Bryant, May 9th, 2015. It's kind of interesting. It's against the Brewers. Thunder Dan would be big on this. And there's a picture of Matt Garza on the ticket.
Oops.
Yeah, but I would think, boy, that's a good ticket. Hey, have you had any first home run ticket stubs signed by big name young players, Bill, that ring a bell that you can think of? That I would think that's a few hundred dollars.
Well, I would think so. That's probably something I'd hold on to. I know in the next auction, this one of our consigners sent us a group of tickets. I think one of the lots has, like, Bobby Hulls and a couple of other hockey players that signed tickets from, I don't know if they're signed or not, but tickets from their 500th goal.
Oh, that's neat.
You know.
That's neat.
And we've had, you know, 500 home run tickets and 3,000 hit tickets and things like that. Those moment in time things are very, very collectible and very hot right now.
And those can be graded and authenticated also. Tickets just much like a card that's signed, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And high-grade ones of those. Most of the times, that you know, the recent tickets, they don't tear them anymore. They just scan them. So you really have nothing but full tickets for the last, I don't know, 5 or 10 or whatever years. But prior to that, full tickets versus stubs are a much, much higher collectible thing because you just don't see them.
And in good shape, it's tough because a lot of people had them in their pocket or their wallet or whatever.
Bicycle
so.
Spokes.
Yeah, right. So, that's good stuff. Well, it's time for another short break here. The number's 312-332-3776. We're on till 8. Taking your questions about the value of your collectibles, so give us a call. We're giving away a box of 2015 Topps Hobby Football to one caller or tweeter. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on every Sunday from 7 to 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. We'll try to give you an estimate of what your item might sell for in a current auction if you give us a call at 312-332-3776. We're giving away a 2015 Topps Football Hobby Box to one caller. Or if you tweet an item and I use it on the show, you get in the drawing. Also, Marty from Yorkville stopped by T-Crown this week. And he has, Bill, this was kind of neat, three signed Walter Payton cards. He's got his second, third, and fourth year cards, 77, 78, and 79. Two of them look like they were signed on the same day with bold marker. One of them's kind of the 78 is kind of faded, it looks like, in ballpoint. But, I mean, that's got to be at least a few hundred dollars for the three of them. Would that be a lot you would want to do, or is that not something you'd want to do in Huggins and Scott?
Oh, I definitely would say that would be a lot.
Okay.
The Payton stuff is, you know, he's still one of the icons. I mean, it's a shame that he passed away so early, but what that did was just put his autograph and his value up there with, in the Mantle Maris type range because of, you know, he wasn't around to sign autographs at the card shows for 20 years after he retired, you know.
And nice, bold signatures like this are really good.
And he has a beautiful signature.
He does.
You know, it's clear, readable, it's not scribble.
Yeah, and neat flow to it. It is a cool signature. Vince, what were we talking about on where we were talking about the Cubs with the Chris Bryant and everything, and I'm a little worried about the Cubs pitching. Because Phil Rogers posted this tweet that I retweeted.
That was so funny. That was so funny.
It's Arrieta and Lester and anyone wearing polyester. That was a pretty good one. That is what worries me about them. I love their manager. Their lineup is deep, and I think they got a real shot. But that the pitching scares me.
They keep finding ways to win. Madden's pushing the right buttons,
and they've had
some winning streaks that go beyond just their top two pitchers. So they're finding a way to do it, and every day it's somebody different stepping up. So
they're definitely a year ahead of where I ever thought they'd be, what they've done so far. And I've noticed in a lot of Sox fans like myself are watching more and more Cub games because you know, if you're a baseball fan, it's a great setting in Wrigley. Wrigley looks good. The bleachers, in there, it looks much better. It's getting there.
And Bryant christened the left field scoreboard with a homer right off the top of it.
He's like a smarter, faster Dave Kingman, you know, when the way he hits the ball. Yes. He's kind of built like him.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's a little bit. And Bill, Washington kind of faded. That was a surprise with that year that Bryce Harper has had, but it looks like they're not going to be in the playoffs. That's a surprise.
Oh, yeah, boy, you're not reading the local papers around here.
They've got to be ripping them.
I think surprise is putting it mildly. There was, you know, they had big plans for postseason, and now they're all going to be watching it on TV.
You think Williams is going to be let go as the manager?
You know, he just got a ringing endorsement from Bryce Harper, which probably didn't hurt, but, you know, gosh, there's a lot of questionable moves that were made throughout games and stuff, and that's the manager. You know, you're not going to fire the players.
I don't think he's going to make it. It'll be interesting to see if Robin Ventura is back for the White Sox next year, actually.
I have this vision of Mike again. Sorry.
Mike doing the
Walking Dead impression.
Now, if Ventura is listening and next time they're losing 16-2, if he does that Walking Dead walk out to change the pitcher, I hope he comes back for sure if he does that. That would be awesome. Jim from Lake Bluff is on the line. What do you have there, Jim? Hello, Jim.
I've got two items. I've got a 1963 Cub jersey, and it's number 30. So I went to the roster and searched it and to find out who the heck it was. And, you know, could it be Ernie Banks or something? No, but it's Dick LeMay. It's a pitcher. So
is this a game used jersey?
Yeah.
How'd you pick that up? That's kind of cool.
Long story. I had a friend who lived out in Arizona, and he went to a garage sale, and a woman had a rack. I don't know how she got them, but probably had 15 or 20 jerseys, and I think he got it for like $2 or something. This is about 30 years, easily 30 years ago.
Now, Bill, what do you think? It's not exactly one of the big names in Cub history, but what a 1963 Chicago Cubs game-worn jersey, if it can be proven that it's actually a game-worn jersey, what do you think of a common player, what that might be worth?
Well, it's going to be the flannel kind. A lot depends on... Does it still have the original tags in it? And have there been any alterations? Sometimes the teams would send them down to the minor leagues and they would change the numbers. Now, that's not the kill-all of anything, but if it's totally original and unchanged and unaltered, a Cubs flannel from 63 is probably $1,000 to $2,000 at least.
Wow.
Whoa!
That's
Jim,
nice.
Now pick yourself up off the floor.
Hope you're not driving.
Well,
I love Dick LeMay. Dick LeMay is my favorite player. Sorry, Nelly.
The fan club just started, the Dick LeMay fan club by Jim in Lake Bluff.
Wow.
So, Jim, if you think you want to try to auction it, if you can either contact Bill Huggins at 301-608-0355, or you could bring it in to Triple Crown in Naperville. I can, you know, send it out to him, or you can just send some pictures. We'd like to see it. But it would be definitely interesting to see, and I hope you do run it. I'd like to see what it ends up going for. Dick LeMay for president.
I can't wear it because I'm a Sox fan. But
there you go.
Hey, I've got one other item. It's a pin flag from the Western Open at Cog Hill, and it's autographed by Payne Stewart. Ooh.
Just him, huh?
Yeah. Just him.
Yeah, that's kind of neat. What? That's probably a few hundred dollars, don't you think, Bill?
Oh, yeah. Payne Stewart, single sign pin flags. Yeah, they can be.
Yeah.
Did he win that tournament, do you know?
I don't believe so.
Tiger maybe won at that time.
What year was that?
98,
1998 Western Open. I'll look it up.
Is that what the year was? 1998.
You know, I'd have to research it. I'm not quite sure, but he died shortly after that.
Yeah, I bet it was 1998. But yeah, that's neat. You got two good auction items there, Jim. So if you're ever thinking about it, well, you know, call Bill Huggins or stop by Triple Crown or both.
I will. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Great show.
Good.
All right.
Hey, Bill, this was kind of a neat item that Steven emailed me. I think I posted on Twitter a picture of this helmet. He has a Heisman Trophy helmet. The good news is it's signed by 29 winners. The bad news is he doesn't have some of the big name newer winners like Mariota and Winston and, you know, those type guys. So, Bill, I suggested, I don't know if he's going to be listening, if you agree or not, I suggested if he thinks he can get him to try to get some of those newer guys added on. Do you agree with that?
Well, if he's got 29 names on there, there may not be a whole lot of room left on this.
It looked like there would be room for some more.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, you couldn't have said it any better. The more the merrier, you know.
Yeah, especially for the younger guys, they want the you know, those guys on it. If not, it's still auctionable, don't you think? With it's set up. It's a Heisman winner, Heisman Trophy helmet, neat looking helmet, and with
we've sold those before in the past. And you know, it just the who's on it and what it looks like is going to dictate value.
It goes back to he has Jay Berwanger and guys like Glenn Davis and Johnny Leitner, and he's got Rashan Salam on there. I forgot he even won the Heisman. That was a disappointing bear. Eddie George is on there.
Is Doug Flutie in there?
Dorsett, Doug Flutie, Bo Jackson's on there, Barry Sanders. So he's got some good ones. So you would be willing to auction that as is. And I'm thinking, I guess, where are you really going to be able to see anytime soon some of those newer guys? You'd auction it as is, Bill?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and it's probably, you know, going to get both 500 on it, 600 on its worst day to maybe 1,000 to 1,500.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see. You can go to HugginsandScott.com. So you can look through the auction history there if you have something you think might be auctionable. And there's also lots of items already up there for the November Huggins and Scott auction. A lot of good vintage cards. Oh, for instance, this is kind of neat for a Packer fan. A lot of 18 PSA graded 7s and 8s, 1959 Topps football. Jerry Kramer, rookie in an 8, a Max McGee, rookie in an 8, a Jim Taylor, rookie in a 7. They had the wrong Jim Taylor on that card. It was an uncorrected error on his rookie card. There's also an Alex Karras, rookie in an 8, a Sam Huff, rookie. So that's a neat collection. And then this is kind of neat also for football collectors, 1957 Topps Rookie Hall of Famers, all PSA 6s. But it's Unitas, Starr, Paul Hornung, and Raymond Berry, all PSA 6s. Now, that's perfect for a guy who wants good-looking cards that PSA 6s usually look very good, but doesn't want to pay for the 8s, 9s, 10s that can go so much higher. That'll be interesting to see how that goes. We've got George from Cherry Valley's on the line. George, is that in Illinois, Cherry Valley?
It's near Rockford.
Oh, it is.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, no, it's out in Winnebago County, just southeast of Rockford.
Okay, how are things going?
Good, good, good. I have, you just mentioned, 57 Topps football cards, but I've got some 56 Topps baseball cards.
Ooh, those are good.
And what I did was I took them and I framed them and shadow boxed them. And I got 8 in a frame, and they're anybody from like Matthews, Mays, Koufax, Snyder, Clemente, Banks, Aaron, and Jackie Robinson.
Now, when you did the shadow box and the frame, you didn't paste the back of the card into it. Were they in holders first before they went into the frame? I hope.
Yeah, well, they were loose, and then they have those plastic corners. But no Scotch tape, none of that paste.
Oh, see, they're in those those four corner things. Those will probably be cutting into it some. It sounds neat, but I have a feeling that you may have hurt the condition of the cards. What do you think of that, Bill?
Well, you're right. You'd have to see the condition of the cards. That's going to determine the value. You got the right names, though. That's for sure.
Yeah, that is for sure. That's a neat set.
I never, you know, went anywhere because you folks are mentioning this. What is it? PSA? That's the condition of the card.
Yeah, PSA, SGC are good vintage graders. You know, either mm-hmm. one of them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes send us a picture or stop by with your frame at Triple Crown in Naperville. I'll try to give you an idea on. Based on how it looks like the condition might be. If they were in holders before they went into those corner things, it would help. But if you put them into those things that they used to put into photo albums with the four corners thing, that always damages the card. Hopefully it's not pasted in also. But we're going to try to get to some more quickly here because we're getting towards the end. We have RJ in Melrose Park. What do you have, RJ? RJ, you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, what do you have?
Hello? I got a 45-46 signed Rose Bowl ball. My grandfather played for the University of Illinois, and cool. The whole team signed the ball.
Wow, now that's cool. Any like future NFL Hall of Famers that were on that team?
You know what, sir? I'm not 100% sure. Some of the names that stick out to me are Buddy Young, Alex Agassi.
Who ended up being the Northwestern coach. Yeah. What do you think of something like that, Bill? Is it good no matter what, or does it depend how some of them did later on in the NFL?
Well, I think you answered it both. It's good no matter what, for sure. How good will be determined by actually who's on it and what it looks like.
Yeah,
sure.
Condition of everything. So if
I mean, as a Rose Bowl champion team, though, it would certainly be a good item for the auction, and we let our 27,000 bidders, they'll tell us what it's worth.
Okay, there you go, RJ.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Great show.
If you want to contact Huggins and Scott Auctions, the number is 301-608-0355. And unfortunately, we're out of time. We can't get to any more callers. But, Vince, it's time to do the drawing.
All right, this week's winner is Jeff from Wrigleyville. Jeff, so email me, vince@arcdelivery.com. Send me your address. I'll get back to you and delivered to your door free of charge. Jeff from Wrigleyville.
Jeff from Wrigleyville. Yes. So it just so happens Mr. Cubfad picked the Wrigley Field guy.
Go figure. Complete coincidence.
Yes. All right. That's good. And ERC Delivery, you deliver all over the whole Chicago area.
We can go anywhere.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Very good. Okay, and now check out HugginsandScott.com, Huggins and Scott Auctions. Don't forget now, Jeff Meller is up next with the Fantasy Football Show. I always listen to that on the drive home because I got to see who to put in my lineup.
Me
so
too.
Listen in. Have a great week, everybody, and go Bears.